Thank you so much, Jennifer. That's wonderful. Great to see you again and hear you. What a great song. Love will save the day, does save the day, is the only thing there is that can save anything or heal anything. So it's October, and the whole month is dedicated to prosperity, and we are studying Edwin Gaines' wonderful book, The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity. So, and today, the title that you have is The Spiritual Law of Forgiveness. But Edwin, on her first part of the chapter, calls it the mysterious power of forgiveness. And I like that. So that's my title, The Mysterious Power of Forgiveness. Because there is something that's inexplicable, and it happens every single time we forgive. No matter if we're forgiving a debt, the Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So it's the same as I love my neighbor as myself means you have to do both. You can't just choose, I'm going to just love my neighbor, but no, I'm not going to love myself. Or I'm going to ask to be forgiven, but I'm not going to forgive. It doesn't work that way. There's a mystical saying, as above, so below. As within, so without. So everything starts within us. The whole flow of prosperity. So imagine this. You're surrounded by your indwelling abundance right now. It is who you are. You're the director of your experience. You're creating the most magnificent play, and you get to decide whether it's a comedy or a tragedy. Right? You get to decide whether there's plenty or whether there's lack. And the decision isn't just here. The decision is made in the cave of your heart. It's made in that place. So last week, we talked all about the spiritual law of goal setting. And I saw you all making notes, and how many of you were practicing this week? Put your hands up so I can see. Whoa, good, good, good. Excellent. Continue to practice. Well, I did very well on my, remember I asked you to the practice of not judging, complaining, or gossiping, or criticizing anything or anyone. Well, I did very well until Friday. And can you believe it was with my prayer partner that I found myself, oh my gosh, I'm gossiping. I have to start again. And she says, forgive me. Anyway, so it wasn't her. It wasn't about her. It was about me forgetting that I had made a commitment to myself. So I started again. So now this is day two, right? Three. It's like, but 21 days to create a new habit, and you need to be mindful. You need to keep remembering. And you're doing that for the very reason that you're practicing the law of forgiveness, the mystical power of forgiveness, so that you can unkink that hose that the universe has, the hose of abundance that you might be stepping on it right now and nothing's coming out. Well, then nothing is coming out because of you. And likely, it's something completely unconscious, like resentment, bitterness, some kind of lack of forgiveness, some unforgiveness. Edwin Gaines says, and many spiritual teachers have said this, resentment is like swallowing poison and hoping the other person dies. Swallowing poison and hoping the other person dies or at least gets sick. It doesn't work that way. Forgiveness isn't for the other person at all. It's for you. It's for me. When I'm forgiving anyone, I'm really doing something that blesses myself. So, and didn't you love, how many of you were here for the Wednesday's Wisdom? Hands up. It was so powerful, walking that labyrinth. And I hope you all got cards. I got the right and perfect card for me, which was, and is still, this one. It was the card that said, I walk in, I acknowledge and bless any hurt or harm caused by my words or silence. Whew. I acknowledge and bless any hurt or harm caused by my words or silence. So are you willing to let go? you know, what I realized when I read this is that I would love to be able to say that I'm a master teacher and that I live the teaching and that I never hurt or harm. That's our intention, right? Do no harm. And yet, sometimes a careless word or a silence when there should have been a word, when a word was called for. And for me, that error of not speaking is huge. So that's what I was releasing. And then the renewing coming out from the center of the labyrinth was, I choose peaceful and healthy ways to communicate. I choose healthy and peaceful ways to communicate. And my chakra was the throat chakra, the speaking chakra. I thought, boy, I couldn't have planned that better if I just created it myself, which, of course, I did create it myself because we create all things ourselves. By right of consciousness, we're always attracting them to ourselves. Okay, so the Edwin says it's a mystical power. Ernest Holmes tells us on page 298, 299, for selfish reasons alone, you cannot afford, listen to those words, you cannot afford to hold anything against anyone. For the God of love cannot hear the prayer of the one who fails to love. Now, do you hear those words and see that it's the same thing as why we have to forgive? We have to forgive so that our goals can be met, so that our word can be powerful. When we're not forgiving, when we're in a state of resentment or criticism or complaint, what we're saying is that this universal presence that's all-knowing and all-loving is somehow absent in my life. And that's impossible. That's impossible. It takes so much time and attention to truly master these ideas, the principles of science of mind. And I encourage you, Reverend Arpad starting a class tomorrow night, I'm starting a class Tuesday night. Those classes should be full. Should be full. And we don't should anymore. The reason they should be full is because you want a better life. Richer, more abundant, more powerful, clearer. That's why you take classes. So that you can recognize that wonderful magnificence that is the truth of you. That is the truth of you right now. Not in a future, greater, later, but right at this very moment. You are enough. You are enough. The song says, you are enough. You're made of God's stuff. God's stuff. There are so many examples of the power of forgiveness. And a couple that I reviewed last night, one is the shooter that went into the Amish school and let the boys go and the pregnant girl and kept all the little girls. And he had three guns with him, and he shot five and injured two that were critically injured, so actually seven children were killed by a shooter that was not part of the Amish community, had his own mental issues, his emotional issues. He had lost an infant daughter. But the rest of the story is far more important than the horror of the shooting. The parents of those children knew that the wife of the shooter and their children were suffering. And so they went to his funeral. And not only did they go to his funeral and say, we're offering our love, our forgiveness. Obviously, he was suffering for him to do such a thing. They offered their some financial support to his widow. Now that's forgiveness. That's forgiveness. You just lost your girl children. They've been killed senselessly for no reason at all. And they rose up. So maybe, just maybe, we could get over or forgive that unkind remark someone said to us. Or the guy that left, or the woman that left, or the thing that we're holding is such a bad thing by such a bad person, when really it was just a thing, part of life. Edwin Gaines has the most wonderful way, because people will say, well, what do you say about Hitler? What do you say about, if God is everywhere present, where is he there? Well, God is working through us. He's working through people. He, she, it is working through people as the principle of love. Or not, because we get to choose. The other thing I remembered, and I read this, and I also saw it, I heard it, several years ago when my sister was visiting, we visited the Museum for Tolerance. How many of you have been there? It is absolutely outstanding. It is outstanding, and it was very impactful for both my sister and I. Anyway, after we went through the tour, there were these two men that were offering to give, to do a talk. And the talk was, I listened to them, it was the true story of this kid who left home at 13, the boy, because he was gay and his family didn't want him at home. And as he was out on the streets of West Hollywood, some neo-Nazis saw him, ridiculed him, beat him, kicked him into a coma, almost to death, and left him to die. Well, the kid survived, and 25 years later, the neo-Nazi that kicked him in the head and caused the coma met, and they met. And there was a reconciliation and forgiveness on both parts. And they both now come to the Museum for Tolerance and tell their story. Because if that boy, now a young man, could forgive someone for just about killing him for no reason except his sexual orientation, then what I know is every one of us, whatever it is that we think we can't forgive, oh, Heather, you don't mean that. Oh, Heather, I do. I do. I mean absolutely everything. Every single thing. You have to loosen your grip on being right and give it to God. And what I did in the meditation this morning, for those of you that weren't there, I reminded us that for the things we don't know how to forgive, the thing within us, God knows how. God knows how to help us forgive that thing. Watching Jack Boland, who was the teacher, had a huge church in Detroit, Michigan, and then that became Marianne Williamson's Unity Church. And he would tell this forgiveness story of how his brother-in-law stole from him, and it was a public defrauding, and he blamed it on Jack Boland. So everyone in Detroit thought Jack was a crook. And here's how he started his forgiveness work. I forgive him, the son of a bitch. Sometimes you have to start there. You start where you are. I forgive him. I forgive him. I forgive him. Until he finally actually started saying it like he meant it. I forgive him. And I have a wonderful friend who teaches this, that when someone does you harm, the prayer after forgiveness is for their highest and best good, for their prosperity. So he said he realized he was also doing that. He was wishing him well. I see you prospering in every good way. And feeling the letting go of that resentment and bitterness, letting it go, letting it go, letting it go. And finally, one day, he said he looked over, and there was his ex-brother-in-law in a great big brand-new Cadillac driving, smoking a cigar, just top of the world. And he realized he'd done his forgiveness, because he thought, wow, he's doing really well. Isn't that great? See the difference? Isn't that great? Isn't like, you know, that SOB, what is he, you know, how did he get that? That's where we need to go in our forgiveness work. Edwin talks about, she tells this story or retells the story of Abraham, who had a dream that God said God would give him anything he wanted. And so Abraham thought and thought and thought about what he would ask for. And he thought, and he said, Lord, since I'm the ruler of a nation that's so important to you, your nation, I ask for an understanding heart. And God was so pleased that not only did he give him the understanding heart, but he also gave him riches and love, all of the things of his heart. It's how it works. Because when we've forgiven everyone, what are we left with? An understanding heart. We're left with an understanding of the other and of ourselves. Most of us, I'm going to guess, the one we most need to forgive is ourselves. Put your hand on your heart. Feel your heart beating. And repeat after me. In this holy moment of now, I truly, deeply, and profoundly forgive myself. I am the perfect child of the Beloved. And so it is. So, and feel that. Feel that. That's a word of truth. Just the way you are, you're already perfect. You're already whole. You're already complete. Edwin says, the other thing that I just want to touch on that she says that I highly recommend is make an inventory of your whole life, of anything you've ever done to harm anyone. It might take you a day or two. It might take you a few hours, but anyone that's ever harmed you and anyone you've ever harmed, either by your words or silence. Make that list and then start the forgiveness work. She says that she did this and something came up. She was so surprised, and this always happens for me too. I think, oh, I've done all the work on that. It's never going to come up again. Bingo, it comes up again, the very same thing. The issue with one of my parents often comes up, and that's, you know, like, I'm old enough to be a great-grandmother, and so, you know, what am I doing having those resentments? But if they're still there, here's the spiritual truth. It's like the peeling the layer of an onion. You need to, which, believe me, I never do, but on a literal onion, I do it figuratively in my journaling, but you peel off the first layer, there's still onion there. You have to go again, peel the next layer and the next layer until you get to the place where you are so free. You're so filled with freedom, joy, aliveness, energy, that all you see is the love that you are. This is the day, this is the week to start practicing forgiveness. Tonight, when you go to bed, before you go to sleep, ask yourself, who did I shut out of my heart today? Who did I hurt by words or silence that I can practice forgiveness? Who hurt me that I can practice forgiveness? And then do it. Do it. What I know is the moment that you let go of all of that crap, you've created a vacuum. And what comes in isn't more crap. It's more good. It's more joy. It's more love. It's more prosperity. Right here, right now, you are the one making the difference. And so it is. Thank you. Let's take those ideas into prayer, and then Jennifer will come back. So just know with me. The thing itself that is divine love is healing me right now. I know this for every person in this room, every person watching, that there is nothing that I have ever done that has tarnished my being. My sacred being is shining bright, beautiful, whole, innocent. And that divine innocence is what I'm born with and what is the essence of my being. I know this for everyone here. I know from this moment on, forgiveness is a natural, normal way of life, and I forgive 70 times 7, for that is the way of life. I forgive fully, deeply, profoundly, easily. I give love, and I love being the being of love that I am. And so making amends wherever I need to make amends, doing the work that I'm called to do, I know and declare that all is God, all is good. I give great thanks that this is so. And I release this word to divine mind. It's complete. And please join me in saying, and so it is. And so now, please.